Hi, this is Jennifer Sage with the Indoor Cycling Association, and I have a very special guest with me today. His name is Billy Coburn from Omaha, Nebraska. How are you, Billy?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Well, I'm really excited. I saw Billy talk about a profile that he did that I immediately knew. It's a journey ride. I immediately knew that if I was in that ride with Billy teaching, that I probably I would have been a mess. I love those rides that hit you on such an emotional level. And if you were a master instructor, Billy, and he's a Star 3 spinning instructor, and I've known him for years. I know you're certainly at that level. But if you were a master instructor, this would be one of those rides that would be featured at WSSC with people out the door.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate you saying that.
Really. And the ride is called Maya's Courage. And Maya Angelou died 2 months ago, a little less even. And you came out with this ride like within a couple days. I mean, you must have been really impacted by this woman. Why don't you tell our listeners first who she is and why you were impelled or just compelled to create this ride?
Well, it's an interesting story. Our club had decided to do an outdoor ride about 2 months ago. And so I'd been going through the process of trying to decipher what would bring a unique experience to not only our riders, but would be impactful in an outdoor environment with the spinning bikes. And I was actually at the show Wicked, the Broadway show, was playing here and was walking through the lobby, and I looked over and there was a poster saying Maya Angelou was going to be speaking on June 9th.
Wow.
And, and instantly I thought of her famous quote about the virtues of courage. And I thought, you know, that is such an excellent base for a ride and a journey ride. I'm going to go home and investigate that more when I get done with the show tonight. And so that was probably around May 24th, and I was leaving for WSSC the next weekend. And so on the way to WSSC, I was beginning to process this courage ride and making mental notes of songs and what I would do, and learned of Maya's passing after I had purchased tickets to go see her speak in Omaha.
Wow.
And so it all kind of collided together that it was a perfect opportunity not only to honor her life and pull out from an amazing and incredible woman whose life started in the most unpleasant of circumstances, but had such a huge impact on our society, to bring that somehow into the cycling world. So much of my time in Miami this year, outside of conferences and rides, was spent in my room formulating what would be presented to my club when I returned the next week. So,
you know, and I didn't even know that you had started that you had started formulating this ride before her death, which is,
right.
It's actually kind of uncanny.
Yeah.
And that you had signed up to go, or you had paid for the tickets to go watch her speak, which would have been just amazing to see.
Yeah. I remember that moment in the lobby, just stopping and looking at the poster and thinking, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I'm not that versed on her writings or her teachings, but I knew it was a moment in history that I wanted to take part of. And it's unfortunately a moment that I didn't get to be a part of, but hopefully impacted in another way.
Well, it helped you create this ride. So, and this will have an impact. Anyone listening to this, it's not for everyone. Not everyone will probably, at least what we'd like to do, this is a ride about courage. So what we'd like to do is try to instill that seed that will grow in you as an instructor so that you can get the courage to do journey rides like this, rides that just inspire your students from inside.
Right.
And as you know, Billy, that was one of my favorite things to do when I was a spinning MI, and come up with rides that just really got people to think deep inside. And that's why I know that this ride would be one of those rides at WSSC that people would line up for. So let's start off with kind of the objective of the ride.
Well, the objective of the ride, I think everybody in life is dealing with, can answer a question, you know, I wish I had enough courage to do something, or I wish enough courage to, it's kind of one of those fill in the blank questions. Uh-huh. And Maya Angelou says that none of life's virtues can be accomplished without courage. And so that was really the springboard to help people, whether it was the courage for something, you know, that day, that minute, that hour, or maybe something they're looking at 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road in their life that they could relate to and bring some clarity perhaps into their life within that hour of this class. So my goal really was to help them to begin to put feet to this mental thought or idea. When I imagine my life in the most energizing way, I wish I had enough courage to blank. And they would fill that in as we journeyed through this ride.
So we have provided, or we will provide for everyone listening to this, your sheet that you give to your students. It's in large letters. I wish I had the courage to. When you look at the handout, it's on there.
Right. As each writer came into the room, I had already prepared these small 5.5 by 8.5 clipboards. And each writer had, you know, a Sharpie pen with a large tip on it. And the handout that says, as you'll see on the handout you'll provide, that I wish I had the courage to. And so I didn't ask them to do anything specifically with that when they first got to their class or when they were sitting at their bike. I just wanted to begin to implant the thought that, you know, subliminally or mentally, however they were thinking, that idea of courage about doing something was beginning to formulate before you even began the class. In our cycling studio, we don't have projectors or any type of way to produce strong visuals. So that's the reason why I went this route with a clipboard. Plus, it was supposed to be outside. So I wanted something that was easily accessible to the riders and perhaps could be used somewhere else. But more importantly, thinking about other clubs that perhaps could use this ride as well that also don't have the visual projection capabilities as well. So it offers a little bit different twist for a journey ride rather than being visually oriented. It's a little bit more mental oriented.
But if you do have visual capabilities, there's some wonderful things you can do. Obviously, project this up on the wall. But I would say you'd still have the clipboards because you want them to have that on their bikes. You want them to have that intimacy and not just see it written up there and imagine it. Once you write it down,
right,
it's implanted.
Right. And that even just writing is a physical action. You know, it's no longer just a thought in their brain. So yeah, that's the idea of a little bit of physical exertion to put something on a piece of paper.
So let's, before we get into the actual songs, let's just tell everyone, like the kind of the logistics. This is a little bit more complicated because we're going to be dealing with some voice clips of Maya Angelou that you have taken. You've provided the YouTube clip where people, and the link for it,
right,
where people can go and get that on YouTube. There's a couple ways to do it. The way you have done it is you have extracted Maya Angelou's speech using what? It's youtube-mp3.org?
Yeah, youtube-mp3.org is a nonprofit site that allows you just to copy the URL and it will download an MP3 file of the audio directly into your iTunes.
So now you have Maya Angelou's words. And
right. I'll tell you the quickest way that I have found to merge audio over your music bytes is there's an app called DJ, and you can get it relatively cheap. It's super easy to use. It basically just brings up two turntables onto your screen. You can drop your audio file on one side, your music file on another side. There's the two turntables. And we've provided the cuts of the audio as well as the music throughout this profile. So play with it. Literally, I think you could learn DJ within 45 minutes of how it works. It's relatively easy to use.
And that's DJAY.
Right.
Is the name of the app. So you go to the App Store.
Yeah.
Or look at it online. Is it just Apple?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure.
Okay. The other option, back to that. we have at the very end of this profile, we have the list of the five excerpts of Maya Angelou's speech that you use as a overlay over the music. The other option for people, there's two other options. You can just project the YouTube video up on your screen if you have video projection. And in that case, you would just simply turn down your music as you projected this. Or if you're a little bit more inclined, you can weave it into your ride. And then the third way, probably the simplest way, is to just read it. Read it out loud. Read her words.
Sure. And I would encourage the instructors, you know, if they choose to do that route, just simply listen to her speeches, because she's such a dynamic speaker, and sometimes pause and reflection is everything in communication. You know, if they're going to read the speeches, just draw from her personal examples of how her dialect and how she approaches those, and we'll provide those words of the speeches as well with the handouts.
I think when people listen to her talk, they're going to get a lot more ideas for coaching. Not just your wonderful coaching that you have in here, your cues, but, you know, they're going to be inspired in different ways. So this really is about Maya and her inspiration, and what an inspirational woman. So let's go ahead and jump into this. By the way, I do want to say this. If anyone listening to this or reading this profile has any questions, please just leave a comment on the page for this profile, and I will notify Billy so he can answer your question. How's that? Will you do that?
Sure.
Okay. That's great. And all right, so let's jump into it. Where do you find your music? You have some pretty amazing songs about courage, and just these songs are really appropriate for this ride.
You know, that is a good question. I find myself more often than not on a Friday night diving into music searches. My friend Keith in Miami, who, you know, we were joking about it. It's like sometimes I just go to this tunnel and begin researching music. And I have some friends who are DJs as well that have been a great resource for me. So it's, you know, I use my iTunes radio when I travel on trips, and I'll put in groups that I like and see what comes up and tag the ones that I like or the ones that want to pursue even further.
So the first song you have, this is your introduction song, is As People Are Coming In?
Right. And it's just, you know, it's a low vibe, just kind of a club scene sound. You know, as people come in, help them get set up on their bikes and everything. Not too overwhelming. Just, it's, the album's called A State of Trance. So it's really just, you know, a meditative type upbeat music to get the people into the room and to step up. So I've allowed about 4 minutes of that music to play, and then a couple of minutes to begin to introduce the concept of the ride to everyone. And my club here had never done a journey ride, so it took a little bit more explanation and preparation. I don't think any of them knew what they were getting into that morning until we started, to encourage them to really step away from their world, to step away from their electronic devices, to step away from their instantaneous interaction with the outside world, and that they truly were going to take a moment to focus on themselves and where they wanted to move in their lives.
And so you don't focus on the RPM through the song. And even though it can get quite intense, intensity isn't the objective here. So yeah, I have noticed, and I want our listeners to know, there's a little leeway here as to how you interpret this. And like a couple times throughout this ride, you say, you know, just kind of go with the ebb and flow of the music as far as your positioning and what you want to do. And right. I love that. It allows some...
The music for this particular ride required minimal coaching. I mean, you can feel what the music wants you to do. In most everything. So even in the most intense moments, when we're talking about fear, the music replicates that feeling of inner turmoil. So you as the instructor, it's relatively easy to, you know, bring them up to a running position, a standing position to face that fear, or whatever it might be, you know, daring somebody to go beyond where they're at and taking them to a heavy climb out of the saddle. So I really tried to be very intentional with the music throughout this.
Tell us a little bit about Maya Angelou.
Well, I think everybody knows her as, you know, the famous orator, the famous speaker, the famous writer, Pulitzer Prize winner. What I thought was oddly interesting when I studied her as that person, she talks about how she would rent a hotel room and go to that place to work every day. And she would remove all the distractions from that place. And she would take her Bible, her thesaurus, a yellow notepad, dictionary, and go there to work every day. And when she was asked why she chose to do that, it was basically, it was the only way that she could find to step out of her world to be in this place of effective change to input to other people. So I used that story at the beginning of this ride during the setup time to really kind of set the base to our riders to encourage them to step out of their world, to step away from it just for the next, by that point, 55, 60 minutes, like her, that distracting thoughts that come into your mind, I want you to recenter them on what we're here to focus about. So I think a lot of people I was stunned to find, which moves us into the next song or the beginning of the song, is that she had a really rough childhood. And I guess we can address that when we get a little bit further down into the music. But many people are stunned by her childhood.
Yeah, I never knew that. So now they've got this clipboard on their handlebars. Do you just ignore it for a little while?
During the first song, yeah, I just let it set there. And it was funny. A lot of people went ahead and took it off the bike and set it on the floor. And, you know, I didn't make an issue about it. And during the second song, when I call them to kind of settle their mind and bring their attention to focus, you know, they're pedaling at a comfortable pace. I just wanted everybody to be warming their heart rates up, getting their legs loosened up. And so I call the attention to that clipboard and the question that it posed or the blank that it had for them to answer. So the song that I used really as the song to really settle people down, to bring them to that space, to remove them from the world, by M83, who, by the way, for you instructors, it's a great album to invest in because it has a lot of great intro music that is very calming and builds and builds and builds. So, you know, it was a quick 2-minute time frame for me to call their attention to that clipboard that was on their bike and the question or the statement that I posed on that board that said, when I imagine my life in the most energizing way, I wish I had the courage to. And I asked them, you know, what is the first thing that comes to your mind, how you would answer that? And for people like me, you know, I've got a million thoughts typically in my head, but there's one dominant thing that I wanted people to override with, to focus on throughout the ride and allow that one dominant idea to float to the top and ask them to center on that for the ride. So that moved right into the next song through those 2 minutes.
At that point, do you ask them to write it down?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Just to focus.
Still to just think on that thought and to get some clarity into their mind. So that moves us into the next song, I Can Only Imagine, which I know a lot of MIs have used, but it's such a great song, I think, to set up people's thinking beyond where they're at this point in their life. And when I think about the life of Maya Angelou and what she went through as a child, which most people don't know the story or certainly can't relate to the story, but at the age of 7, she was raped by her mother's boyfriend. And as if that wasn't horrific enough for a child to bear, her uncles then came to their home and actually murdered the rapist in front of her. So wow. Not only did she have this harmful thing done to her, but she had also actually watched the death of an adult take place in front of her. And as a result of that and being traumatized by that incident, she stopped speaking. And so somebody who eventually became one of the most prolific speakers of our time went silent for 5 to 6 years.
Wow.
And, you know, I think about that. I can't even relate to what she must have been thinking then or the thought process for those 5 to 6 years. But I refer to that in the ride as a time of silent courage that she went through. And I think a lot of us, even as adults, there's this silent courage sometimes building within us.
Yes.
And, you know, she rose above it at the age of 16. She became pregnant, had her only son, and she received a scholarship and went to California and dance and acting and eventually ended up in Broadway touring shows. And then in 1969 is when she published her first memoir, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. And she was the first nonfiction bestseller for an African-American woman. And that's probably still one of her most famous books that she's published. So you really used this song, I Can Only Imagine, to help bring my writers to that place again of that question, what could you imagine your life to be if you had enough courage to deal with or to face or to confront or to whatever that was coming to their mind during this building song of I Can Only Imagine in relation to their own lives. And then in the next song, we took the first step. I had the first excerpt from one of Maya Angelou's speeches, which it sets up the entire ride about building our courage muscles and how we develop courage. And this is the time that I wanted them to begin to write down and come to a place of commitment on their card.
And when you ask them to write it, they simply write it down and just leave it there on their handlebars.
You know, some people did. And again, some people didn't write it. I had people still at the end of class that never did write anything down. And that's okay.
And it might have been that it was personal to them and they didn't want anyone to see it.
And I'll be honest with you, it's hard to write on those clipboards while you're riding a bike. So,
well, I've done it. I've done some, I have my students do it occasionally. And yes, it is, but it is possible. And yeah.
And I, as an instructor, I did it myself. And to be honest, I mean, as an instructor, it was impactful to me to write down what I wrote down on the clipboard. So I felt like, you know, laying the groundwork of leadership and modeling that in front of your class was important to do as well. And I left mine, you know, on my bike the entire time. But yeah, there definitely were some people I think it was too personal for them to want to put anything down.
So you merge Maya Angelou's speech about a minute into the song.
Right.
And when she's talking, you just obviously just quiet down, right?
Yeah.
And then the song ends and it takes you right to the next song.
Yeah. And her speech ends with, you know, she says, just do right. Like, we all know what to do, just do right. And so the next song is Here and Now. And really, you know, I played into that whole thinking process of let's do the right thing. You've thought about what you wish you had enough courage to, you've written it down, you've taken a step of action, a physical action to make a note of it. So let's begin to start to develop the courage now. And we began to find a hill at that time and slow the pace down a little bit, increase the intensity of the ride, still at a sustainable pace. But, you know, just keeping in the forefront the whole time, this whole concept of the energized, the actualized life, if we had enough courage to move forward. And the song has great ebb and flow to it. You will know exactly when to lift your riders up, when to set them back to the saddle, to move in and out. So it's awesome. I also shared a point in there where Maya, it's not in the excerpt, but she talks about that we develop courage by doing small things in a small amount of time. And I related it to, it's kind of like lifting weights. You know, when you start with your trainer, you don't get to start with the 55-pound dumbbells doing bicep curls. You typically start with 15 or 20, or, you know, and she uses that illustration. Don't grab the 100-pound bag of sugar first. You grab the 5-pound bag of sugar first, and you work your way up and up and up. And I talked about that as here and now, as we build our courage throughout the morning and even throughout life, as we build our courage, it not only requires physical exertion, but mental exertion is required. So challenge them to begin to feel what that was like at that moment. And then we moved into the next song, which is called Feel It. So starting here and now, bringing that feeling, you know, more internally and asking them the very specific question, you know, how would you feel if your courage prevailed and you accomplished what you wrote down on that piece of paper? What would the end outcome look like in your life to accomplish that which you set out to do? Imagine what that feeling would be. Imagine how different, you know, from the inside out you would be, spiritually how you would feel, mentally how you would feel, physically how you would feel. And really try to bring your writers to a place of picturing or visualizing what that life would look like. So we spent the next duration, and that was about 3 minutes of that song, trying to get them to work towards that desired life. So it's a great feeling to think about the life you've always wanted and what that looks like and feels like.
I'm imagining myself on a bike as you're talking, and and I'll just let everyone know, when we started this, I told Billy, I said, just, you know, imagine you're teaching, because that's when the best stuff comes out. I didn't want him to read this. And I mean, to read this as he's talking this. And it's just, it's beautiful, Billy. I mean, I seriously, this is one of the reasons why I love indoor cycling so much, because we can use this as a metaphor for life. And encourage is such an important part of it.
Right. You know, and as an instructor, I did the ride twice that morning. And it was interesting to me. I had some really special people in the room both times. And it was really, you know, I can remember the moment, so I get even emotional thinking about it. But it hit me at different times during the different hours, what would rise up. And there is just something, as you mentioned, unique that happens when you are physically exerting that energy on the bike, that mentally opens up your capacity to think and to see and to feel more and to want to do more. Yeah, it's an incredible journey. So out of that feeling, unfortunately, the common reality is, you know, we can have that feeling for fleeting moments, but then fear begins to set into our lives, and doubt and question. And even perhaps, you know, relationships deter us from moving forward with what we really want to establish in our lives. So I had a 2-minute recovery section and just some underground lying music that was called Fight for You. And I talk about that fear and what it does in our lives. And I discovered this really alarming, and it was heartbreaking. I just simply Googled one night when I was doing research for the ride, I wish I had enough courage too. And I left it empty to see what Google research would show me. And when I looked at the page to see, you know, what this great wisdom I was going to find that came up in the Google search, I would say 7 out of 10 hits that I got said, I wish I had enough courage. And they filled in the blank with to commit suicide. So when I had discovered that research on Google, I went around the room, and during this break time, I parlayed this story to my students. I said, you know, when I Googled and I asked Google to fill in a blank, I said, what do you think, you know, the number one answer was? And while they were taking their drinks of water and wiping off, and, you know, people would say, I wish I had enough courage to ask somebody on a date. I wish I had enough courage to ask somebody to marry me. Some people said, I wish I had enough courage, you know, to end a relationship or quit my job. And no one in the room did the idea of suicide, you know, was that spoken. And, you know, I got back up on the bike, and it's an awful moment to have to say.
Yeah. What were their responses when you said that?
You could just see their faces fall. And, you know, when you've got 25 riders in your room, you know that most of us at some point have thought, oh, is life worth it, at a minimum?
Yeah, so if not suicide, at least some doubt about, like, what am I here for? I mean,
so you know that there is at least a percentage in your room that you're teaching that at some point probably have had a more in-depth thought of this. And, you know, it was hard to look around my room and imagine that people that you're investing your life in teaching, somebody there might have had that thought. And they might have had that thought that morning or that day. And it made it even all the more important to try to help to draw out from your writers that their life is so much more than this trap of fear. So for a break time, it was pretty, pretty heavy.
Yeah.
I will say,
fear can eliminate our courage in an instant. I love the way you end with that.
Yeah. And it's so true. It's so true. So what I chose to do, I didn't do a great deal amount of the ride focused on fear, because I didn't want it to be that. But the reality is, we all have those fears. We all face those fears. So I posed the question of, when fear begins to take hold of your life, What are they? What are those fears that are preventing for people to move forward in their lives? So the music changes pretty drastically. I used some soundtracks from Iron Man. And, you know, we quickened the pace up. It was a couple minutes, I believe, that I threw into the ride here. Flat road resistance. You know, I encouraged them to feel the road beneath their feet, get a quick movement going on, and to have enough fight and play with their bike that they felt like they were taking control of the road. Because really with fear, we have two choices in life. Either fear will control our lives or we have to take control of it. And I wanted to simulate that as they were riding. So, you know, not too incredibly difficult, but definitely enough that they would know that they had to be in control. And I also wanted them to know that, you know, the fear of failure is huge. And I think the great deception of it is that we always think that we're the only person who has ever thought that. And the reality is, you know, all of us have this fear of failure to some degree or another. So I asked them to ride this song with the intent to conquer that fear. Name that fear. What are those fears? What are those people that are keeping them from the desired life that they want? And let's go towards that. And we're going to call it out and face it. So I used two songs from the Iron Man soundtrack, 7 and 8, to take them through this. And both of them are at a quicker pace. You know, asking them to picture in their mind the fear and the doubts that hold them back. And challenge them that every time that they destroy one of those fears or conquer one of those fears, they become that more close or more firmly rooted in achieving the life that they desire or the dreams that they hope to approach. And so after this kind of moment of battling through the fears that we face in our lives, immediately the next song, number 9, Brian Taylor's New Beginnings, is just this beautiful, I describe it as kind of fighting your way through a dark forest, and then suddenly the trees part and the sun's coming up, and just this beautiful music begins to unfold. And had everybody come up to, you know, a standing run, not too intense, but to be able to feel, you know, take some resistance off the bike and feel the freedom of conquering that forest of fear. So wanted them to find that place. And then I immediately took them back to that place of that 7-year-old little Maya and how she took that fear and those tragic times of her life, and she produced this amazing children's book called Life Doesn't Frighten Me at All. And I held it up and I said, 5 to 6 years of silence, and this is what came out of this and what she created for us to draw from today. And, you know, it just, the whole point of the book, and I read just this short excerpt from the book that says, shadows on the wall, noises down the hall, life doesn't frighten me at all. Tough guys fight all alone at night, life doesn't frighten me at all. Life doesn't frighten me at all, at all, at all. And somehow when I put that in the context of a 7-year-old little girl facing things that most of us as adults don't ever face, that as an adult she can now say, life doesn't frighten me at all. You know, it's like, really, Jen, what do we have to be afraid of? And why do we let those fears hold us back and encumber us? So it was, again, a freeing moment of those fears that I wanted to draw people to the realization that the reward is worth the risk, to move people forward, to take the dare of living the life imagined or the life dreamed. And so then that moved us right into the next song, Dare You, which probably is my favorite song in the last 2 or 3 years. So that moves us right into song number 11. We've faced the fear. We've talked about fear. I reminded the writers of that silent courage that little 7-year-old child had dealt with. And so Dare You is one of my favorite songs. My writers know I probably use it too much. But it talks about the fact that the verse says we're a million people standing on the head of a pin, and we're all afraid to jump because we're afraid we won't fly. And the song, you know, he talks in the chorus that I dare you to try, I dare you to feel, I dare you to be, I dare you to believe, I dare you to run. And so really it can relate to any of your writers, wherever they're at in their life and what they're dealing with throughout this song. I set up another Maya Angelou excerpt right at the beginning of the introduction of the song as well. that she talks about everybody in the world has gone through pain or the pain of loss or the fear of pain. And it's just a great excerpt when she talks about all of humanity deals with this fear issue. Moves right into the song Dare You. The writers have been standing up for a while now. I have them drop back down, listen and refresh a little bit. And then we move more into a climb, slow climb. Again, the music is so great. Instructors or the writers will know what to do. I didn't find I had to do terribly a lot of cueing in this. Most of my writers would just follow me what to do.
Especially with lyrics like that.
Right. Really. Right. And during the chorus of one of the songs, I had them drop back to the saddle, and I was reminded of, we tend to use this phrase a lot, that people will say, well, why don't you do this? You know, what's the worst thing that can happen to you? And I heard somebody say one time, well, you should change that around to say, well, what's the best thing that can happen to you? And I began to try to instill in my writers during the standing climb towards the end of this song to begin to change their way of thinking, that when the fears rise up and when they think of the worst that could happen to them, instead of think about the best thing that could happen to them. You know, I'll be honest, my thing is I really want to have my own indoor cycling studio. I really feel like there are just such great uses for it. But there are so many fears that come along with that. You know, the logistics and the money and the finances and will it work in Omaha, Nebraska? I don't know. But when I think about the best things that could happen and I think about what happens, you know, during an hour like this on a Saturday morning, you want that to multiply and more people to experience that. So really trying to get people to change the mindset instead of thinking, you know, what the worst is, the best thing that can happen. And also bringing in people to align with you to help encourage you for that best thing to happen. And Maya Angelou talks about in the excerpt I used in the next song about the importance of love and how that brings courage into our lives. And that is what pushes courage into our lives. And so I found this great remix of Skyfall of Stars by Coldplay. And this ride was going to take place outdoors in the open sky. So, you know, I had some great parlays for that as well. But it works fine indoors, so you don't have to be outside as well. And I took the opportunity during this song to get off my bike, to walk the room, and talk about the specific people in that room that had made a great impact on my life in various ways. Some of those people I've known 3 months, some of those people I've known 10 or 15 years. And I would walk around and I would touch that person and say, this is my friend, Courtney. Courtney's known me for 12 years. Courtney was my assistant at another job, at a career that I had to get out of for whatever reason. When I left that career, for instance, I didn't know what Courtney would ever think of me again. But Courtney's sitting here in the front row. Here I go. You know, sitting in the front row, and not only is she sitting in the front row of my class, but she's a spinning instructor now as well.
Because of you.
And has come back to my road and joined my road and not condemned me, but has, you know, been the loyal friend to come alongside me in this journey of love and give me courage to continue to move forward. And, you know, my former fitness director was there, and, you know, a new writer from 3 months ago that has just been greatly encouraging. So I think as instructors, it provides a great platform for us to say, you know, there are people right here amongst us that give us courage. And not only is that great for us and for the individuals, but be mindful that you can be that person to somebody else. And you can be that person in your studio, in your clubs, to help them build courage as well. So it was a super impactful time, as Maya talks about, that love really liberates us. And love helps to eliminate those fears in our lives. So I closed that song out with another excerpt from one of her speeches that she talks about how grateful she is to have been loved and to be able to love now. And that love doesn't liberate it, or love liberates that it doesn't just hold us down. And she says that if love that holds us down is nothing more than ego, and love liberates. And so we continue the ride into the Courage Brings Liberation, and moved into Safe and Sound, brought the resistance back up into the ride, moved it into more of a working emphasis, because by this point we believe that we have the courage within us and the support around us to move towards that accomplished life or that changed life that we want to see. And we're safe and we're sound. So again, using this music to parlay the same concept, the mental concept that you want to convey, and then interspersing throughout this music as your riders climb both in and out of the saddle, you know, they gain courage by feeling safe. They gain courage by listening to those heartstrings that pull in their lives, that draw their attention in one way or another. And we certainly gain strength by when the friends around us begin to encourage us and influence us on the journey that we're on. So as we feel safe, we continue that dream. And I moved into the song Believe It to more deeply try to internalize this decision that each writer was making in their lives. It's not just a feeling now. We're going to actually begin to believe it. It's not just an emotional moment, but how do we ingrain that, you know, into our mind even more deeply? So continuing that mindset right into that next song, I think it's song number 14 on the list, Believe It. Again, a moderate climb using your cueing according to the rise and the fall of the music. And I reminded my writers during that song, you know, a lot of times when fear comes into our lives, it can consume us, and it can keep us from moving forward, but also it's just something to pay attention to. Because, you know, if you're something bad is about to happen to you and you become fearful, you can avoid that bad thing happening sometimes. Or if fear comes into your life, it simply may be just calling your attention to change something or to do something different. So fear is just something that we should pay attention to in our lives. It could just be calling us to something greater, and something that we're much more impassioned about. Those fears are never going to go away. It's how we choose to live with them and to deal with them in our lives that will help us to move forward to. And I talked about at that time, you know, how do you use those fears to fuel your passion to move forward and be determined to not stop believing in what you're passionate about. And so taking from that mindset into, you know, a crazy, wonderful mix of Journey's famous song, Don't Stop Believing. But it's a wonderful new modern mix that you can find relatively easy with Google search online. And if that song doesn't make people feel good, I'm not sure what song will. But, you know, it keeps the writers thinking about what is the best thing that can happen to them. Get their mind off what's the worst thing can happen. Keep them on a steady workload here. And then at about 4 minutes into the song, you know, just remind them that as cliche as it might sound, this is the only life you've got. This is the only moment you've got. You know, you're as old as you're going to be right now, and then it's gone. Another second, you're another second older. Use that as a sign to start living courageously, to create the life that you want it to be. You'll never get rid of all of fear. And there was a paraphrased Nietzsche quote that said, often the most courageous moves are made on wobbly legs. And, you know, if ever you had wobbly legs, it's in an indoor cycling room.
Yes.
So, you know, why not take them to that place during this song? You know, get them a little bit more hot-legged here. And at 6:40, you know, really attack the hill and take them to that place, not of exhaustion, but definitely of raised intensity, and attack the hill. And then out of that song, there's an instant change in feeling. And about 40 seconds into the song, A Hero Will Rise, I've got about a 90-second play from Maya that, you know, she says that infamous phrase, you know what's right to do, just do right. And this is when I go back and I refer to the handout that they had at the beginning and to their clipboards. And right at the strategic time during her speech, about 2 minutes into her speech, what I've done on the handouts is I've prepared and written out that section of the speech So what E. Schreiter doesn't know is that the handout that they have written what they would like their life to be on the front side, on the back side, I have this speech printed. So when they fold their card in half, they're actually reading as she speaks the speech at that same time. And what she is encouraging you to do while they're folding this over is to take their life up, that they should try it, they should see, they should take up the battle, and they should make this world a better world right where you are. And she builds and builds and builds with her incredible speaking, and ultimately just says, it's up to us. It is up to us to create this desired life that we want. And so at minute 3:10, you know, we're drawing on that strength that she has just infused with us through her speech. And we begin to run towards this desired life that we have determined in the last hour that we would like to have. And then it goes right into Philip Phillips' song that's on the charts right now, Raging Fire. And I cut out the slower portion of the song at the beginning and merged right into the chorus. And just challenge my writers and ask them, you know, there's keep the high intensity, keep the feeling up, and they're going to do it. They're going to ride the buzz of what she has left them with in moving towards this life and realizing, hey, this is up to me. I can do this and I can make this happen. And so that's going to take them for, you know, 2 or 3 minutes into this ride. Really not much talking has to take place during this. That song ends relatively abruptly on the track. And then the last speech that I have excerpted into the ride is probably her most impactful that I have on here. And it's, there's no music underneath it. You don't need music underneath it. It's just simply her expression of how incredibly grateful she is to have life and to have experienced life here. And she gets extremely emotional during this clip as well. And it's just something that as an instructor, you absorb while your writers absorb. And, you know, I'll be honest, when it was finished and I led into the cool down song, it's hard to know when to pick up to speak again. And so into the last cool down song, True North, and I took my handwritten note out of my clipboard and I referenced it to my class because I wanted them to know that I had actually done this with them. And I didn't have this part scripted at all. It just kind of was one of those flowing moments. And I had it in my hand and, you know, I said, I've done this too, you guys. You're not alone in this today. And this has impacted me as well. And so my whole hope of the ride was that, you know, it would move from that piece of paper. It would move from our brain. It would move to our heart, that it would move from our heart to our hands who had taken the time to write this down. And then eventually to our feet that would propel us forward to live this courageous life that many of us are afraid to approach right now, and the energized life that we also desire. And I just let the song play out for the next 2 or 3 minutes. And it was obviously a very emotional time for many. A lot of people were afraid to let that emotion out. It's the first time I've ever done anything like this at this particular club. And some people left immediately. It was an interesting response, I will say. Some people hugged me and held on to me and cried. You know, other people left their notes at the front of the gym. Other people emailed me later and said, you know, you had no idea what I dealt with that morning before I came to your class. And I had no idea you were going to talk about courage or teach about courage or write about courage. I just thought I was coming to another indoor cycling class. And
this is not another indoor cycling class.
So, you know, it was very, I felt very honored to be able to bring it to the people that day and to see that it had an impact on their class. So, and likewise, it's a great honor to be talking with you today too.
Well, thank you, Billy. I'm honored to have you on here. And I have to say that I've never felt this way at the end of an interview like this. I am impacted by this. And I mean, I knew it was going to be special, but I never imagined. You're amazing.
I appreciate you saying that. It's very humbling, definitely coming from you. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I hope everyone listening to this will write down, if I only had the courage to do a journey ride like this.
Yeah.
And how would you feel if you had students who cried afterwards and who held you afterwards and emailed you and said you changed their lives and made them think about things they never thought they would think about, and they thought they were just coming to an indoor cycling classes. And imagine the impact that we can have beyond just making them physically fit and teaching them some mental strength skills, but how about changing their lives outside of the studio?
Right.
And that's what rides like this can do.
Right.
I want to come out to Omaha, and I hope you'll do this again. When I do get out there.
How about I come to Vail and do it there? That might be more fun.
There you go. That sounds great.
I would love that.
So thanks again.
Where my training career began was actually in the Vail Valley. So.
And when was that?
Oh my gosh. Probably 12, 15 years ago.
Wow.
A friend said, hey, you should come try this spinning class with me, the Vail Valley Club. And
at which one was it?
Vail Valley Athletic Club.
You mean the Vail Athletic Club?
Yeah.
That's Vail. Right. We've talked about that.
Yeah. So life comes full circle, my friend. Here we are.
Yes. And I'm teaching at the Vail Athletic Club right now.
That's awesome.
So instructors, please tell us, if you do this ride, let us know your experience. We would love to hear from you.
And I'd love to hear if anybody's got questions or would like to know further how I did this or formulated it, they're more than welcome to ask questions or get in touch with me.
All right, Billy. Well, I know you've changed some lives. Thank you again.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer.